Turn your Bibles to the fourth chapter of Mark. Mark chapter 4. I'll try to bring a study and a message out of this, a section of this chapter. Mark 4, I want to start in verse 35. And I'll read through the remainder of the chapter through verse 41. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, unto his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. This is a little fishing boat. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. The waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. You get the picture here? The boat's filling up with water. And they're bailing. I can just see Peter and John, James, bailing, trying to get the water out of the boat. They're frantic, very frantic. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. That's our Lord. The storm never upsets our Lord. He's already weathered every storm that you and I will ever face. He's been tested in every part, so is we, yet without sin. That's what Scripture says. Excuse me. I'm fighting a cold, trying to get over this thing. It's about to the end of it, thank the Lord. It's about ending me, too. Give me a little trouble when I try to talk, but stay with me. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on the pillar, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, Master. Now they're frantic. Somebody shakes him, wakes him. Master, Master, carest not that we perish? Oh, what a question. For a believer to ask the blessed Redeemer, the one that loved us, God, who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that he might redeem us from our sin. Our Heavenly Father, who's become our Father through Jesus Christ. He's only our Father through Jesus Christ, as we relate to him through his blessed Son. And the same one that cared for his Son while in this world cares for those who are in his Son, his children. Cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you. We lose sight of that, though, don't we? It escapes our minds sometimes. We're in the midst of a storm. We're in the midst of a great trial. We wonder, does God know what's going on? Does God really care? Sure he cares. Yes, he cares. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. Ooh, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Trust me. Trust me. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Everything obeys him. He has authority over everything. Pastor's been reading this book that Francis recommended. I think you gave her a copy, didn't you? This hospice nurse wrote the book. Outstanding. There's not a whole lot of books outside of expositions and commentaries outside the Bible that I recommend, but I would recommend you to read it. If you like to read this book. And this lady is absolutely gun barrel straight. She is sound as she can be. And I've found absolutely nothing that I would disagree with. But she's got a section there talking about his authority over nature, his authority over the devils, his authority over everything. Leaves nothing out. He is absolute sovereign.
Amen.
He's in control of all things. The elements, everything that's a thing, he is absolutely in control of. Nothing ever gets out of control with him. It does with us, doesn't it? It does with us. I've said this, people that fight against the doctrine that I preach so often, when the going gets tough and things get out of control, everybody believes in the sovereignty of God. Yeah. All right, let's look at this. There's several little old lessons right down through here that I want to just share with you in our time together. First of all, understand this. Following Christ will not prevent our having troubles and sorrows. They're going to come. I mean, when a person becomes a believer in Christ, comes to Christ in faith, comes to be what is so loosely called today a Christian, when this happens, folks, listen, troubles do not go away. I mean, yes, we're not immune to it. I mean, the trials on the world out there is the trials upon the believer, are the trials upon the believer. We go through financial struggles and troubles. We go through physical sickness, body affliction. We get diseases just like those outside. We go through everything, the family problems, the children problems, everything that we see out there. We have problems, we have troubles, we have struggles. But thank God the difference is we have one in the boat with us. Job is actually Eliphaz. Eliphaz wasn't a believer, was he? I don't think he was. Those three, quote, friends that came to Job. The fellow said, when you have friends like those, you don't need enemies. They didn't come to help him. But only to find and pick and this, that, and the other, try to figure out what Job had done wrong to bring all this trouble upon him. But anyway, Eliphaz said this in Job 5. He said, for affliction, and he spoke the truth here, God inspires this word right here. He says, for affliction does not come from the dust. It just doesn't rise up out of the ground out there. He says, nor does trouble spring from the ground. Yet man is born to trouble. As the sparks fly upward. Just as sure as a spark. Pastor and I was raking leaves recently, and once they lifted that burning log, we started burning some in a spot I have cleared out to where I can keep the fire under control. We set the leaves on fire one night and got us a chair and sat out there and watched it burn. Enjoyed it. Sat there and watched the leaves burn. Pretty good fire, and just watching those sparks fly. Not a single one went down. Everything went upward. The heat was forcing the sparks from those leaves to go up, up, up. I said, you remember what we're taught in Job, Patsy? I said, that's life. Man born in trouble. Just as sure as the leaves and the sparks from those leaves, I mean, just as sure as those sparks fly upward. Psalm 90, verse 10. This is the Psalm of Moses. He says, the days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. You know, old Hezekiah was at the point of death, King Hezekiah. He was dying. He knew he was dying. He had some kind of disease that was incurable. And he was praying. Matter of fact, the prophet Isaiah came to him and said, God said, you're going to die, Hezekiah. Said, set your house in order. He turned his face to the wall. He didn't want to die. And he pleaded with the prophet, pray to God, I don't want to die. So the Lord sent a message by the prophet back to Hezekiah and tell him, I'm going to give him 15 more years. In that 15 years, Hezekiah had a son born to him that was the most wicked of all the kings in the history of the kings, Manasseh. You remember that? He was born after he was allotted those extra 15 years. Trouble, trouble, trouble. The boy took over the throne at age 12. Undoubtedly, he was spoiled to no end. He was as wicked could be. Had a good father, good King Hezekiah was a good man. Loved God, led the people to the proper worship of the true God. Would not allow those false altars and idols and the grove altars and things like that. He did away with all that. But here comes Manasseh. And Manasseh turned exactly to the opposite. Matter of fact, he's the only king that practiced what the heathen practiced and led Israel to offer their children as sacrifices in the fire. That's what 15 more years got Hezekiah. Have to be careful about how we pray as believers. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, he says, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. He said, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. We're going to die. Going to die. I had that heart surgery, you know, back in September. Didn't have much time to make up my mind. that cardiologist had me laid out there on my back, you know, and did that cath on me and came back in there with the startling news. I didn't think there was a thing were wrong with it. Had no signs of it. He came back in there with the news, said you got two blockages and need to do something about it. Said, I can set you up in the morning at Crawford Long. Got a fella can take you in over there. Well, I didn't have much time thinking. Pastor and Brent was, go ahead and get it done. So they sort of helped made up my mind. I look back over that thing. I look back over it with second guesses. I do. I can't help but do it. My wife tries to comfort me that I did the right thing. She said, well, you know, if you hadn't got it done, you'd probably die. And I said, am I dead? Do we believe the Scriptures? Do we believe that there's a time to live and there's a time to be born and there's a time to die? That our days are numbered with the Lord? Do we believe that? Huh? I know God uses means. I'm not an idiot. I'm not a fanatic on this thing, but I know this. I know this. God Almighty has my times with Him. My days are numbered. All our days are numbered. Hey, and listen. So we die. As believers, so we die. I mean, in the present, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I know we'll get my old friend from Lake Charles, Louisiana, old brother Don McKinney preaching out of Pine Bluff in that conference a few years back. Old Brother Don's up about 87 now. But he'd preached one of the best ones. He's up preaching. He had some problems a year before, I think, health problems. He's preaching about heaven. Preaching about heaven. You remember that? It was good. He said, we're a strange lot of people, talking about us believers. He said, we'll spend $100,000 to stay out of the New Jerusalem. And we do. That's strange, isn't it? My soul. What could be better? Well, Paul said it was nothing better. Be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. He said, to remain with you is for your need, but to be with Christ is far better. Job also said this. He said this in 14:1. He said, man who is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. A few days and full of trouble. You know, it could be put this way. Eugene Peterson, I like the way he expands the text. He says, we're all adrift. That's what Job's saying there. In the same boat. I mean, we're all just out here. We're adrift in life. In the boat of life. We're all in it. We had a time to start. Got a time to leave this world. We had a beginning. We got a destination. We got an end out here. We're all adrift in the same boat. Too few days. Too many troubles. We only have just a few days in this world, and yet it's going to be full of trouble. That's just life, isn't it? And listen, you know, we're kind of a spoiled lot, I guess. That's, you know, and thank God that I am an American. Live in the good old USA. I'm glad God called me and set me down here in Western Georgia to preach, even though it's been a struggle. Been struggles 37 years, going into 38 years now, I've been trying to preach. And it's been struggle after struggle after struggle. But He could have sent me to Indonesia. And trouble, trouble, trouble. There could be trouble wherever we are. So following the Lord Jesus Christ will not prevent our having earthly sorrows and earthly trouble. These guys are in a tight spot here. These fellas are, they're between a rock and a hard place. The boat's filling up with water. The storm's not getting any quieter. Waves are raging higher and higher, coming over into the boat and filling it up. And they're frantic. But here's the blessed thing for the believer. He was in the hinder part of the boat. He's in the boat with us. Whatever the trouble is, He's there with us. And here's something else. If not presently, when the storm hits, as we see in another place, it will not be long until we'll see Him walking on the water to where we are and getting over into the boat and stilling the storm. You remember that other story? When He sent them to the other side of the lake, the Galilee. And when He sent them to the other side of the Tiberias Lake, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. Do you think His eyes ever left those disciples? Matter of fact, I believe it was Him that raised the storm and put them in that situation. And you know, it says over there, you can read this for yourself over the account over in Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse 22. But it says that when the storm began, the first watch came, the second watch came, the third watch, and there was still no Jesus. He waited until the fourth watch, which was about 3 a.m. in the morning. He waited until the very nick of time. And they were frantic, sure enough. They thought for sure they were going to perish. They could not get the water out of the boat fast enough. And all of a sudden, they see this figure on the water. They thought first it's a ghost. And then he begins to speak to them and to calm their fear. And they said, "Oh, it's the Lord." Peter said, "Let me do that." So the Lord said, "Come on." And old Peter starts walking on the water. You remember that sermon I preached years ago, Peter walking on the water? Peter starts walking on the water. And all of a sudden, rather than keeping his eyes upon the Lord, he looks down at the sea and sees the waves raging. He sees the turbulence of the water, and all of a sudden his faith just drains. That's what dry will do for us if we're not careful. If we don't keep our eyes on Him, and it's difficult, folks. I know I'm up here preaching. I'm up here preaching, and I say I'm pretty good preaching, but sometimes when the storm hits, we're all in the same boat. Preacher and people are alike. Our faith is alike. Sometimes it's pretty strong. Sometimes it's awful weak, isn't it? But it's still faith. It's still the gift of God. And it's given to us to keep our eyes upon Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we may not be there as He was in this case, in the hinder part of the boat asleep. But when the storm comes and the storm hits and the boat begins to rock and you think you're going to perish, it won't be long. You'll see Him walking on the water. He'll be there in the nick of time. You see, the trial of our faith is precious to God. More precious than gold or silver, Peter says. And what the Lord does is, in trying us with trouble and sorrow, is purge our faith to make it purer. Get the dross out of it. I see too much of me mixed into it, don't you? All right, let me move on. Another thing we see here, the Lord Jesus Christ is truly and really man. He is. And on the other hand, He's truly and really God. Look at verse 37 again. "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the wave beat into the ship, so that it was now full, and He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillar." Asleep. Why do we sleep? Huh? We're weary. We're tired. We have to have rest for the body, don't we? Our Lord Jesus Christ was truly man. He wearied. He tired. He had to have rest for His body. You see, when He says that He was tempted or tested in every part so as we, that He might be a sympathetic high priest, that He might be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses, our infirmities, it really means that. Yet without sin. No sin. It really means it though. So the Lord Jesus Christ never lose sight of this. He is true man. He identified and took part with us, our flesh. Yet without sin. And then verse 41. You see both ends of it. You see that dual nature in one person, the God-man. And it says, "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this?" I tell you what manner of man this is. This is not
only true man. This is true God. True God. Isaiah said this. I like this. He said in chapter 9, verse 6 of his prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. You ever stop to think about that? Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. It goes on, the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, as a child born, he's to be born of a woman. Have a human birth. As man, he must have a beginning. Just like you and I. But as a son given, he has no birth. No, sir. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's the eternal Word, the Logos. John chapter 1. As a child born, we find him lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Brother Charles Dow brought that good message out of Luke 2. Was last Wednesday night? Wednesday night before last, wasn't it? Awful good. As a child born, we find him lying in that manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, or cloths, what they used to clean the cow's bag with before they milked them. That's all they had to wrap him in. Isn't that something? That's our Lord. There he lies. But as a son given, we see wise men, kings, come and pay homage to their king. As a child born, we find shepherds. Remember that message Brother David Ash preached here at our meeting last month? I like that. If you didn't hear that, you ought to get you a copy. It's on CD. I like that. So as a child born, shepherds, they come. To see this thing brought to pass, it says in the Scriptures. But as a son given, we hear an angel choir. Singing, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. As a child born, we find him often hungry and thirsty. But as a son given, we see him. We see him take just a few pieces of bread and a few fish and feed 5,000 people. As a child born, he sits on the curb of a well in Sychar, weary and thirsty, saying to an adulterous woman, give me a drink. But as a son given, we hear him say to the same woman, if you had asked of me, I would have given you living water. I'd have put a well within you springing up unto everlasting life. And as a son born, we see him. Or as a child born, we see him hang in pain and agony, an ignominious cross, dying the death of a felon. But as a son given, we hear him say to a condemned thief hanging by his side, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then after this, we hear him cry, it is finished. It's over with. Mission's accomplished. That's what it's all about. It is finished. Mission is accomplished. What I came to do, I've done, and it's complete. Nothing can be taken from it. Nothing can be added to it. It's over with. He said, the Scripture said that he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Then we hear the testimony of an old hard-hearted Roman soldier. When the earth shook and quaked, began to break, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. People got up out of the graves, all this taking place. But as all this was going on, this soldier said out of a convicted heart, truly,
this was the Son of God. And here we have him in the hinder part of this boat, a child born. Tired, weary, worn, fast asleep. But as a son given, we see him rise up and speak to the sea and said, "Peace be still." And all of a sudden, like a little quiet purring kitten, that sea just quieted down. Everything was back to a calm. Oh, yes. True God, but true man. True God, but true man. Then we learn from the story that there may be much weakness and infirmity in true believers and a true Christian. I say maybe. I probably should have rephrased that, stated that in my outline notes. Not maybe, but there will be. There will be. Master, here's weakness. Carest thou not that we perish? That's impatience also, isn't it? Impatient. I can hear them before they woke him. They were trying to get the water out. They knew he was tired. He was weary. They'd been traveling across the countryside, up steep mountains here and there for days and days as he tried to care for the humanity around him and preach the gospel to the poor. And I could hear him, so let's let him sleep a while. We'll get the water out. We'll get the water out of the boat. Bail a little faster, John. Come on, James. Get off the seat and help us here and shoot the water out. But in a little while, they're all frantic. I can't bail fast enough. I can't get it out. It's coming in faster than we can get it out. Wake him up! How can he sleep when the trouble is so terrible? He's tired. He's weary. And sometimes, you know, he never tires. He never wearies now. But sometimes, in the midst of our trial, we become awful impatient on him. Lord, when you going to come? I'll tell you when he's going to come. He's going to come on time. His time. Not ours. His time. And then there's distrust in this. Carest thou not? Carest thou not? Sure he cares. Oh, yes. Infinitely so. He cares. I don't care how terrible, how great, how small the trial may be. He cares. There was this unbelief. You know, many of God's children go on very well so long as they have no trials. Yeah. Everything going real good. Praise God. Glory to God. Join the PTL club. Woo! Glory to God. Yeah. No, sir. When the going gets tough, it makes all the difference in the world. When the battle comes. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to be tried. And it is a battle to believe God in the midst of the trial. It's tough. The hardest battle in the storm is battling unbelief. You remember that old fellow over in Mark chapter 9? Brought his son to the disciples. He's having it's sort of similar to epileptic fits, you know, convulsions. And, you know, he'd have one of these fits and try to cast himself into the fire or into the water and drown himself. Poor soul. Been this way for ages, for years, young kid. And his father brought him to the disciples and said, "Can you do anything for him?" And it sort of wearied the disciples. They said, go away, go away. Too hard a case for him. So he came to the Lord with him. Said, we took him. I took him to your disciples, and they said they couldn't do anything for him. Can you do anything for him? He said, oh, he rebuked their unbelief, their weakness, their lack of faith. He said, bring him to me. He had a devil. Demon. Hey, he has authority over the devil too. You know that, don't you? You understand that, don't you? Hey, don't give the devil too much credit. Don't give him too much authority. Hey, he's the devil, but he's still God's devil. He's under God's authority. And he said to them, to the demon that was in the young child, come out. And that demon, again, rent him. I mean, just didn't want to come out. He commanded him to come out, and he came out. And the kid lay as a dead person for a little bit. All that went on. But there was a battle going on in that father's mind. All while all of this is going on, there was a battle going on in the father's mind. And the Lord Jesus Christ addressed that battle. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Do you believe? And the father said, I believe. Help mine unbelief. How often do you have to cry that? I mean, you struggle with everything that's within you to believe, but you're still at wit's end. I've done all. Lord, help mine unbelief. Oh, that's the battle, isn't it? And that's in all of us. There's not a believer in here that don't have that struggle. All right, then this. Observe this. How tenderly and patiently the Lord Jesus deals with weak believers. I'm so thankful for this. Because I feel myself to be least of the saints. I do. I really need this. He so tenderly and patiently deals with my weakness. You know, the Lord Jesus is of tender mercy, isn't he? He will not cast away his believing people because of their shortcomings. Be careful when you say about a fellow believer, a brother or sister, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do this or that or the other, you know. Be careful. Be careful. You may not have been put in the trial yet. You know, it's difficult to say what you're going to do until you get in a man's shoes and walk around a little bit. But thank God he doesn't cast us away. Let me give you a final passage of Scripture to consider, and we'll close her up. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. I like this. Seeing then, understanding that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. I deal with this. You, I know Jesus is at the right hand of majesty on high. And oftentimes when I'm trying to pray, trying to get through this old carnality, you know, and it's a struggle. It's hard to pray. Somebody said, well, I don't have no problem praying. Well, you got problems. But I'm going to tell you right now, I know he's there. But to have the reality of him not being just there, but here, present with me, can touch me, And I can touch Him. He's omnipresent. He can be here and bless me and help me and be yonder in Indonesia and bless Trevor and Teresa Johnson and keep them and meet their needs. And He can be in Mexico with the Groovers, and He can be in India with Prem Wagmire and all the others that we know around the world is trying to preach the gospel in terrible circumstances. Never lose His contact with us. And that's what He's telling us here. He's passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast. Now look at that. Let us, believing people, hold on to our profession or our confession of Christ. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, there it is again. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Again, Eugene Peterson, let me give you this. This is precious. This is how he phrases all this. He says, now that we know what we have Jesus. Now that we know what we have, that is Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let us not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. All but the sin. So let us walk right up to Him and get what He is so ready to give. Take the mercy and accept the help. He's in the boat with us. Blessed be His name. Ed, come lead us in a good hymn, and we'll worship God as we sing.
Number 793. Let's stand.
Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? When each moment so madly is threatening, a grave in the angry deep. Though the winds and the waves shall obey my will, peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm toss sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Obey my will, peace, peace, be still. Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled, awakened and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish for my sinking soul. And I perish, dear Master. Oh, hasten and take control. The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm tossy, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace, peace, be still. Master, the terror is over. The elements sweetly rest. Earth's sun in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer. Leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on the blissful shore. The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm toss sea, or demons, or men, or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of